The scripture reading is found in Luke chapter 2 and beginning at verse 41. Again, this is that peculiar narrative of when Jesus is 12 years old, and Luke tells us about this incident there in the temple at Jerusalem. And the scripture says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they returned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother and said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Dealt thus with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Now, a couple things I want us to remember as we look at this and consider what really to me is a terribly, terribly sad incident, a very sad realization that Luke tells us about Christ being very much aware at the age of 12 years old what his ultimate purpose was and what ultimately would happen to him. I believe this testifies or shows us that he fully comprehended what his purpose and role was, having been born into the earth. Now, in this narrative specifically, it tells us he is 12 years of age. There's no supposition about that. It's deliberate and it's declarative that he was 12 years. And in verse 43, it refers to him as the child Jesus. And I believe the writer is giving us that emphasis, focusing on the age of 12, that there is still what we generally would consider a lack of immaturity, still a childlikeness. There ought to still be some sense of innocence. I think there's a sense of wonder that is beginning to arise. A child about the age of 12 is beginning to ask some pretty tough questions about life and the world and various things related to it. In the Jewish system and in Jewish custom, as I understand it, and I think you're familiar with it as well, you've all heard of a bar mitzvah. And generally a bar mitzvah is a celebration or a public commemoration, if you will, of supposedly the passage of a male child from being a child or adolescence into adulthood. In many ways, at the age of 13, he is considered a man. And by tradition, that is a very old tradition handed down in Jewish as well as in most Middle Eastern cultures. It's not unique to the Hebrews. It's not unique to Israel at all. Now, it's strange to us. Generally, we just figure and think about it, and really this is the origin of that. Generally, we ourselves think about an adolescent child, male or female, up through the age of 12, and then at 13, we start considering them a teenager, even though if I guess we were true to the word, we'd start considering teenagers at the age of 11. But it doesn't have to do with the number so much as a recognition traditionally of a rite of passage. It's a time where the level of maturity and the level of wonder and inquiry begins to change. And at that age of 13 in the Jewish system, having what they celebrate today as a bar mitzvah, again, we celebrate the passage of a male child from being an adolescent child into adulthood. You consider him a man. And one of the things along the line I learned when I was in Israel is there is such a thing, at least in among American Jews, of a bat mitzvah, B-A-T, celebrating the girl's passage from adolescence into womanhood. But they don't cotton to that over there in Israel. The Jews don't observe that at all. That's uniquely an American thing. But the bar mitzvah, and Jesus is right there, he's at the age of 12, and so he is still considered an adolescent child, and he hasn't yet made that mark. Now, for the most part in our customs, we don't generally consider him a man until at least the age of 18 or in some circumstances 21. All of that's really arbitrary. You and I both know that uniquely you meet individuals and some are far more mature than others and some are far more worldly aware than others at a younger age and some late. I know of some people as 30 years old, I still don't consider them an adult. And they seem like they just never will grow up. But nevertheless, Jesus, at the age of 12, being in a time and an age when he was very, very close to where culturally and societally, and then notably, the most significant thing about the bar mitzvah is at the age of 13, he would be allowed to stand and read the scriptures in the synagogue. Now that is really where the breaking point is. And that is what is significant and relevant to us in this narrative. And we know that in the Gospels later, Jesus does stand and read scriptures in the synagogue. We know in particular that at his place at Nazareth, he went to his home place and they handed him a book and he stood and read that section of Isaiah that says that he has come to take the prisoners out of the prison house and to give sight unto the blind and relief unto the hungry and so forth. But the idea of passing from adolescence into adulthood for the male is the privilege as well as then the burden or the duty of standing and reading scriptures in the synagogue. Now at this particular point, Jesus is still considered a child. But notice that it says that they came back in verse 46 and found him after 3 days searching for him. Now, all I will say about that, just for simplicity's sake, is remind you that he was 3 days and three nights in the bowels of the earth, as he said. He was 3 days and three nights in the grave, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. And so they were searching for him. And that adds some significance to the idea that what Luke is dealing with, what Luke is considering here, is ultimately the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Okay? A little bit later, Luke tells us that when Jesus was publicly baptized and then went into the wilderness and was tempted of Satan, fasted for 40 days, essentially began his public ministry, he was supposed to be about 30 years old. And so Luke gives us these two marks in his life. And so it's a good bit later he will actually begin what we know as his public ministry that lasted for about 2.5 years, about 30 months, and that ultimately he was then crucified, he died, was buried, and then resurrected. But here at the age of 12, just on the cusp of being in position to arise and read scripture in the synagogue, here he is. It says in verse 46 that they located him after 3 days. They found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. And that would be the doctors of the law. That would be sitting among those that were authoritative in the scriptures. This would be the scribes. Perhaps there were some Pharisees or others. But these were knowledgeable people. And they were supposed to be knowledgeable in the letter of the law. They were supposed to be knowledgeable in the jots and the tittles of the law that Moses gave to Israel, as well as being aware and knowledgeable about the history of the nation. And he is sitting among these people, both hearing them and asking them questions. So this is remarkable. That merely at the age of 12, being considered a child, he is sitting among the doctors of the law and the doctors of history, in other words, knowledgeable people, and he is interacting with them. He is asking questions and listening to their answers. In the very next verse, in verse 47, The scripture says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. I suppose and propose to you that Jesus did not answer the questions that were proposed of him, and he did not ask questions that were typical of a 12-year-old child. I believe that Jesus had a particular knowledge, and that as he engaged these men, he's engaging them at a very young age. And I would like to know, and I think you would too, I'd like to know what he was asking them. I believe he was asking them questions about the Messiah and asking them questions about their understanding of atonement and redemption and their understanding about the symbolism of all of the activities and rituals of the temple and of the previous tabernacle worship, about why are the animals sacrificed in the way they are? What is the significance of the shedding of blood? How does this correlate to the coming of the Messiah? What are some of the signs or prophecies of the Messiah, perhaps? I don't believe these were shallow questions. These were not childish inquiries at all. They were astonished at his knowledge. Now, whenever he is reunited with his mother and father, it says in verse 48 that when they saw him, they were amazed. Now, I'm going to point out the obvious about this. They found him in the last place they looked for him. Same place we find everything we ever search for. You always find it in the last place you look. But the temple was not the first place that they looked. They searched the city for 3 days inquiring of him. And I've often wondered about how much torment Mary underwent as the mother. Just imagine whenever you lose a child at some place, it's a common thing whenever you go to a lot of the amusement parks. You can go to Universal Studios or Disney World or Six Flags or anywhere like that, and that's always a fear. You want to have that child close by and you keep your eyes on them. It's also a realistic fear anytime you take them in any public area where there's a significant number of people. It could be at the county fair, it could be at Walmart or Lowe's or Home Depot or at the mall or anywhere like that. There's always that anxiety of a parent, mothers in particular, about knowing where that child is and knowing the condition of the child. But notice that while they are, I would say, irritated, notice his mother says, why have you dealt thusly with us? Why have you dealt with us this way? But when they first laid eyes on him, they were amazed. I think they were amazed to find that where he was in the company of these doctors right there in the midst of a group of people that you would never, ever imagine that he would insert himself. I think they were amazed that they found him in the temple to begin with. He was not a mischievous 12-year-old. I suspect in many places, depending on where you are, there are various places you'd immediately go looking for a 12 or a 13-year-old. Used to be when I was growing up, there was always that game room at the mall. That's where you'd go look for one. Think he's in there playing some kind of video games or playing pinball machines or something like that. Or maybe the same thing down if you're in some places like Myrtle Beach or Daytona or somewhere along the seashore around the beach where there's always amusements and entertainments and that type of fair atmosphere. You're looking for a 12-year-old to be entertained. And you think that he might be a little bit mischievous and curious about things. But yet still, and not that there weren't, I suggest to you there were attractions around Jerusalem that a 12-year-old boy would find kind of fascinating. I'm not going to suggest what they are because I really don't know firsthand. But as I have said so many times, beloved, their culture wasn't all that different than ours. There were things there of a Puritan interest as well as there was of spiritual exaltation. And I'm sure that as in any large and significant city, even in that day and age, there were things that a 12-year-old boy could find interesting and curious and draw him away, distract his attention from whatever duties and responsibilities he had. But there was Jesus in the midst of the doctors in the temple, literally the last place anybody would have gone looking for a 12-year-old boy. So they were amazed. His parents were amazed. The doctors were amazed. Anybody else that witnessed the scene was astonished at what they saw. And yet her inquiry is, why have you dealt with us this way? And Jesus' response, wish ye not. Do you not know? Have you not occurred to you? Do you not understand? I must be about my Father's business. Now consider for a moment exactly, for His purpose being in the earth, what is His Father's business? The only reason Jesus is in the earth as pertaining to His Father's business is ultimately to be crucified, to die, to be buried, and then to be resurrected. That's the whole point. We go to the writing of the Hebrew letter and we get a succinct comparison, a succinct description there. The Galatian letters tells us that He was born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law. And Hebrews tells us that He was made lower than the angels, made subject to suffering and death. He took upon Him the likeness of the seed of Abraham, and it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might taste death for every one of God's children. So this morning I suggest to you that the entirety of this experience and the entirety of the purpose of Jesus being in the earth is to taste death for the redemption of God's people, and He is consciously aware of that at the age of 12. I believe He had a particular knowledge. When they were astonished at His questions and astonished at His answers, and they were amazed that He would be in the midst and ask the things that He did and inquire in the manner that He did, Jesus had a knowledge unlike any other 12-year-old. And I would even suggest to you it was likely, possibly, a supernatural thing. But at this age, He knew what His so-called destiny was. He knew why He would be here. Now, I've struggled myself, not sure if He was consciously aware at the age of 12 of how long He would live in the earth. I want to believe that He knew His appointed hour, that He knew when it was going to be. I'm burdened to the point that I want to believe that at the age of 12 He could tell you, I will be here 20 years and about 6 more months. And that's it. He didn't have any idea about retirement. He wasn't looking at anything down the road. But He knew that He must be about His Father's business. And to me, that is a sad reality that saddles the life of Christ Jesus to imagine that from the age of 12, He was consciously aware that one day He must go to Jerusalem and be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. Over in the writing of John in chapter 6, and I want you to look at this with me, over in the Gospel of John chapter 6, in the 35th verse. Now we're getting on close to the crucifixion of Jesus. He is in His adulthood. We're getting on towards the middle to the latter part of His public ministry here in John chapter 6. In verse 35, He says, I am the bread of life. He that comes to Me shall never hunger. He that believes on Me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you also have seen Me and believe not. All that the Father gives Me shall come to Me, and him that comes to Me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. And this is the Father's will which has sent Me, that of all which He has given Me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent Me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believes on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now this in John 6 where Jesus says there in verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, I believe is almost verbatim what he is telling Mary, his mother, back over there in Luke chapter 2. Wish ye not I must be about my Father's business. I have come not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And I will tell you, I am convicted that he had a particular consciousness about his purpose and his death. Now still for me, I know he was the Christ, but still for me, it seems to me like that is an awful heavy burden for a 12-year-old boy to carry. And yet we understand that willingly and obediently he goes to the cross. Now Isaiah has something to say about this. Look back over in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah if you would. Isaiah chapter 53 and in particular verse 3. Now Isaiah has a lot to say about Jesus particularly all throughout his writing. We had talked at the minister school recently that many of us, that Isaiah is about as close to an Old Testament gospel as you're going to get. His writings are very different, and Isaiah speaks particularly with a very intimate knowledge about the life and the person of Jesus. And Isaiah meshes so beautifully with the Gospels in particular as to the nature and the person of Jesus. In his writing in Isaiah 53, the apostle says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Now, the arm of the Lord, of course, is Jesus. It's the Christ of God. And in verse 2, he says, "He shall grow up there before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Now listen to this in verse 3. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Now in verse 3 in particular, notice that Isaiah says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now this leads us to the quandary that we often hear, did Jesus ever laugh? I personally believe he did. I personally believe that this is one reason why Jesus apparently loved children. And he loved for children to be around, and he wanted children. He wanted them to sit on his lap. He wanted them to come to him. He wanted to hear the child's voice. He wanted to hear a child's laughter. I believe it is the one true little joy that he had while he lived in this low ground of sin and sorrow. Listen, as an adult all the time, especially from when he began his public ministry, Jesus was beset constantly with people trying to kill him, and with everybody else that was sick and diseased wanting to aggravate him and bother him just to get what they could from him. He never knew a moment of peace, never. Except for when he was able to escape and go away alone into the mountainside. And I'm going to tell you, is in the day and age in which we live too, because I struggle with this sometimes, but as I grow older, I'm struggling with it less and less. Wiser men have told me that sometimes it's necessary that you've just got to flat get away from everybody else, turn that cell phone off, go somewhere for 30 minutes or an hour that nobody knows where you are, and have a brief moment of peace. Jesus had to. He did on numerous occasions. From the age of 12 until he began his public ministry, I believe he was indeed a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he was considered stricken, and he was considered strange, and he was an outcast. He didn't do as other children, and he was not included in the groups as other children. I believe he was content with that. He understood and knew what was going to be required of him, and understood what was going to be required of him was not ever going to be required of anybody else, his age or at any other age. That he alone would fulfill that one purpose. Oftentimes I've wondered, and I've had this discussion with numerous people, that I would like to know a little more in those intervening 18 years. And how much I want to know, I'm not really sure. But I did have one fellow that I do consider much wiser than me and very knowledgeable of the Scriptures, said that the only thing that could be told to you of a life of Jesus between the age of 12 and the age of 30 would make you pity him and maybe even ridicule him. I have to be content, as I was told, what we were supposed to know is in the Scriptures. If it's not there, don't worry about it. I asked the question one time, do you think Jesus was mistreated when he was 18 years old? When he was 15 years old, when he was 25, did people single him out? Did they pick on him? I asked that question of Brother Walter Hendricks, the red-headed Walter Hendricks up there around Swainsboro one time. Some of you may remember him. Brother Walter was a very humble man, a very knowledgeable man. And I remember asking him that question. What was his thoughts? Did he think Jesus was ever mistreated in those intervening years? And he looked at me and said, we treated him pretty good at the age of 32, didn't we? When he came into this world, he came into this world subject to suffering and subject to death and subject to sacrifice. And while it troubles me that the age of 12 is when that began, that psychologically and emotionally and spiritually he was aware, he knew who he was, and he knew why he was here, and he knew how it was all going to end. But the one thing I'll tell you that Jesus Christ never experienced, and I believe this through and through, that he was never felt self-pity and he never felt sorry for himself. Never. If Jesus knew that he must be about his Father's business, and he knew at the age of 12 that all the Father had given to him, he must redeem them, then that same Jesus also at the age of 12 knew that scripture of Hebrews that would be written of him later, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, I still believe, and this is what we're going to close with. I'm going to quit. And I want to quit with y'all with this, and I want you to remember this. Now, however long we live, we might carry an awful lot of guilt and burden for what we did to our Lord and our Savior. But I promise you, he never felt sorry for himself. Never. When Jesus was a grown man and looked his disciples in the eye in Matthew chapter 16, when they were way up there at Caesarea Philippi, the ancient city of Dan, and he asked him, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter responded, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Scripture says, from that point, Jesus began to show them how he must go to Jerusalem, be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and die, and that he would rise again 3 days later. And when Jesus stood there and looked them in the eye and told them that and began to repeat that to them over and over again, and they kept objecting, Lord, far be it from you. And he says, no, I must. That's the whole point. He knew at 12 years old he wasn't looking. He wasn't focused on the suffering. This is a lesson from a 12-year-old to us today. Sometimes we focus too much on the wrong thing. And we cause ourselves worry and anxiety about things because we don't see the other side of it. We won't look at it. At the age of 12 years old, if Jesus knew that he was going to die on that cross, and I represent to you, I believe he did. He knew what his Father's business was. That at the age of 12 and at the age of 30 and at the age of 32 and at the age of 32 and 5 months, he wasn't focused on the suffering. I must go to Jerusalem and be betrayed in the hands of sinful men. I must be crucified and shed my blood and die, that the beloved of my heavenly Father may be redeemed. And I must and will that third day rise again, the first of many, the first fruits. And others shall follow after me and be glorified in that same manner. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him at the age of 12, Jesus was mindful, all that the Father has given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. At the age of 12, Jesus knew he was a champion. And he knew he was a victor. I'm not sure he lived out the remainder of his life anxiously waiting for it. But I do believe he lived out the rest of his life with a confident assurance, knowing that what work the Father had begun in him, he would see it through and finish it. And then in the Garden of Gethsemane, he bowed and prayed, "Father, I pray that all those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." So I pray it'll give you some comfort, give you a little assurance. It's a strange thing to imagine a 12-year-old burden with all of the sorrow and the grief that surrounds it. But when you consider Jesus, also remember that's a 12-year-old unlike any other. And I believe he embraced the joy and the fulfillment of his Father's promise. So I pray God to bless you. And as we face things that we think are uncertain or unpleasant and whatnot, let's look for that silver lining in the cloud and focus on that. And maybe, if we're able to do that, we can be just a little bit more like Jesus. So I pray God to bless you and watch over and keep you safe. It's my prayer for his sake.